In both the first reading from Micah and in the gospel, we have this reminder that death is not something that we do alone anymore. In the prophet Micah, we hear that echo of the reproaches from Good Friday. O my people, what have I done to you, or how have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, from the place of slavery I released you, and I sent Moses before you. We remember Good Friday, when the Lord enters into all of our suffering, even unto and including our own death. And the Lord himself gives us this image, this sign in the gospel, the sign of Jonah. And he reminds us, teaches them, reminds us that the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. In entering into our death, Jesus humanizes it, not something as no longer merely something alone, abandoned, desolate, but now something that we enter into with him. He is there. And so St. Francis could praise our sister, bodily death. Jesus gives death a face, a hand to hold ours, flesh, and a kind of tenderness, no longer simply a desolate ending, but now a transition. Be praised, my Lord, through our sister bodily death, from whose embrace no living person can escape. In all of the tender starkness of St. Francis, we're not going to avoid her, but she will be an embrace, not merely a slap or an abandonment, but an embrace. Pope Benedict gives us a beautiful expression of hope. In his encyclical Spes Salvi, he gives us one of the best treatments I've ever encountered on purgatory in a very concise way, just in the course of about 2 pages. He covers so many of the key points of purgatory and gives us an image that I think also helps us to face that moment of our own death. He says, the encounter with Christ is the decisive act of judgment. Before his gaze, all falsehood melts away. This encounter with him, as it burns us, transforms and frees us, allowing us to become truly ourselves. All that we build during our lives can prove to be mere straw, pure bluster, and it collapses. Yet in the pain of this encounter, when the impurity and sickness of our lives become evident to us, there lies salvation. His gaze, the touch of his heart, heals us through an undeniably painful transformation as through fire. But it is a blessed pain in which the holy power of his love sears through us like a flame, enabling us to become totally ourselves and thus totally of God. This is what the Lord wants to anticipate even before the moment of our physical death through the purifying transformations that we go through in our lives. This is the pathway of the night of the senses or the night of the spirit that removes from us all of our human securities, all of those things that we cling to that in that last moment of our life will be taken away because none of those things is in heaven. The Lord purifies us of even our senses in this world and all of our accomplishments, all of the things that we've built up, our own kingdoms and our human senses of security, and he places us before him. The transformation of the nights again is placed before us in the black vestment that's traditional in the church for masses for the dead. But for the sake of an encounter, as we come before his merciful gaze, a gaze that removes all of our human accomplishments and all of the things that we've built up in our lives, and yet embraces us totally as we are in the depths the radical poverty of our being, which is in some way nothing in itself, and yet is so precious to him. And so we look forward, anticipate our own death, but also in a Mass for the Dead, we of course accompany those others who have died, and we look forward to that being the case for us as well, that others will accompany us by their prayers. And in this too, Pope Benedict gives us a little bit of light about that prayer for the dead. Using his image of the searing gaze of Christ, we could imagine, first of all, that that might be a gaze before which we would want to run away. And we would run away, of course, into condemnation, ultimately. If we cannot stand before his gaze, then we cannot remain in his presence, then we cannot live forever in heaven. We need to be held there before a gaze that is searing. We can think again, perhaps, of St. Francis, whose eyes had to be seared. He needed the help of his brothers who could hold him as he awaited that gift of fire that made him blind to this world, but perhaps, I'm certain, more open to the mysteries of the next. So we also need others who can hold us before that searing flame of the gaze of Christ, a blessed pain. And we do that by our prayers, gathering around them. Pope Benedict explains simply that love can reach into the afterlife. He explains, no one lives alone, no one sins alone, no one is saved alone. The lives of others continually spill over into mine in what I think, say, do, and achieve. And so he concludes, it is never too late to touch the heart of another, nor is it ever in vain. And it's with that hope that we pray for the dead, and that we look forward to those who will be praying for us when we make that final journey to come before the gaze of Christ, purifying and terrifying in a certain way as the poverty of our own existence is fully exposed, and yet delightful and merciful and tender as it is exposed, not before one who wants to exploit us and point out all of our faults, but it is exposed before one who wants to embrace us and make us more than we have ever been. And in this way, we can think of death, finally, the last image for you, as a birth. St. Augustine said, we are in the womb of Mary until we are born into eternal life. And so there is a way that death is a kind of birth. And just as the senses that a child uses in the womb, mysterious as those are, but certainly not the senses that we are using most of the time in this world, as those senses are discontinued and as new senses emerge, there is a kind of darkness to the old way of life that becomes a brightness to a new way of life. And there is an irreversible transition. No child has ever gone back in the womb, and so also we will not enter back into this life. It is absolutely different, and in that way terrifying, but if we can see the transition, if we can see the difference, like the difference between a womb and this reality, how wonderful the things that await us. And we know that there will be one who will deliver us. As St. Joseph was there to deliver the baby Jesus, he will be there, and of course he will deliver us into the very gaze of Christ, who smiles upon us.